Retro.
Go.
Fido.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the March 25th, 2012 edition of Space Talk, right here live on the air on WMMB. Thanks for tuning in to our program today, where for the next hour, we will talk about our nation's space program and get a little perspective on what some of our local high school students are doing to contribute to our future in space. Along the way, you're welcome to join in our conversation anytime today by asking a question, making a comment. If you're friends of these guests, please line up, give us a call, and find out what secrets you can share with them. You're welcome to call us. Give us a call, 321-768-1240. Or if you prefer to send us something by email, the address we're monitoring all the time here in the studio is, as always, spacetalking@AOL.com. Well, now, as usual, to kick off today's program, I want to offer my weekly broadcast blog, Orbital Inclinations. This past Friday would have been Wernher von Braun's 100th birthday. The famous German rocket scientist was born on March 23, 1912, and passed away in 1977 at the all-too-young age of 65. While the heroic task of landing men on the moon during Project Apollo was most certainly a team effort involving literally hundreds of thousands of people, it is fair to say that von Braun's contributions to the design and management and the construction of the Saturn V moon rocket was paramount to the success this nation achieved with Apollo. And as much as we rightfully remember how great von Braun and the Saturn V were, we must acknowledge the truth that both man and machine found their success during the 1960s because of Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany and the horrors that were part of World War II a few decades earlier. Now, some would suggest that is reason enough to vilify von Braun and erase any memory of his contributions or suggestions that he did any good for this country. They say the man was a card-carrying Nazi who developed the V-2 rocket to use as a missile against the Allies and relied on slave labor to assemble the rockets. Thousands of people died because of Wernher von Braun. Others would tell you that von Braun was only interested in using rockets for space exploration, a cause he had championed in Germany before becoming involved in the war effort. His affiliation with Hitler and the Nazis, well, it was the result of a join-us-or-die reality that few of us living today could ever possibly hope to truly understand. Now, I never met von Braun. I've only heard the stories, both good and bad. The von Braun I know, or at least the image of the man I grew up with in Minnesota, was that of a brilliant rocket scientist who held a vision of our future in space that inspired and excited me, and who could effectively tell that story to the public, especially in the trio of films he worked with Walt Disney on, in which I must have watched dozens of times in school as a youngster. The von Braun I knew was of the man who started the National Space Institute in 1975, an organization we now call the National Space Society, to help promote the space program following the conclusion of the Apollo program. Von Braun was concerned about the coming gap between Apollo and the first flights of the space shuttle. In a 1975 interview just before his death, von Braun was quoted as saying, "I'm fully aware that public interest is a very fickle thing. One day the word is moon or bust, and the next day it is let's clean up the rivers. People get so much information today that the priorities in their minds swing back and forth. The Apollo flights to the moon were demonstrations of immense capabilities and potential, but in some respect they may be compared with Lindbergh's flight across the ocean. I think space is now entering a maturing period where it will be less gee whiz, less sensational, but it will become more a part of everyday life, just like the airlines." There were great men long before the first big rockets were built, he said, and we are just building on their legacy. We want to make sure that this legacy can now be passed on to the next generation, the people who will really pick the fruits of the trees we have planted. I think the silliest part of the decay of the public interest in space is that we planted the orchard, we nourished it and fertilized it and watered it and gave it all of our tender, loving care. And now the time comes when the fruits can be picked, and they don't want to play the fruit pickers. That is where I think the young generation can make the greatest contribution. Pick the fruits. Well, that's what he said back then. Although I have long since lost it, I clearly remember getting a letter from Von Braun, personally inviting me and, well, hundreds of my other close friends to join the National Space Institute. And I did, because I wanted to be one of the fruit pickers. Long before I gained an adult understanding of politics and war, at a time when I laughed at the Nazis and saw them only as bumbling fools while watching Hogan's Heroes on TV, the Von Braun I knew was of a respected, great man who escaped to America to help us launch our space program, who inspired me with his words and models of rockets and space stations we might build someday, and who looked as handsome and sure of himself as many of my German relatives. Although I realize there is a darker side to the story, that doesn't change the fact America's walked on the moon, nor does it bring back anyone who suffered or died because of the work led by Wernher von Braun. All we can do now, all we should do, is seek to learn from our history books and try to do better in the future. And that's this week's Orbital Inclinations. Well, we've got just a few minutes before our first break, and we've got a studio full of guests this afternoon. I want to introduce each of them to you before we get on to the rest of the program. These are guests who have some hands-on space education experience going on at the Space Coast at the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy at Merritt Island High School. Now, we're just going to give a quick hello when I introduce your name so everyone can kind of put the voice with the name. We have two Alyssas in the group today, and I tell you, one of them's wearing red and one of them's wearing blue, but I know you listening at home doesn't help you all at all. So, well, let's start by first of all introducing, where's my list? I'm sorry. Janice Cheshire, who is the director of the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy. Janice, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and good. So our first Alyssa Marcoux, 17, a junior at Merritt Island High School. Welcome, Alyssa.
Hi, thanks.
There you go. Next to her is Alyssa Arricchio, 16, a sophomore at Merritt Island High School. Give us a shout, Alyssa.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Okay, good. That was a good shout. All right, and the only my fellow Swede in the group, thank God for Tyler Johnson, 17, a junior at Merritt Island. Hello, Tyler.
It's great to be here, Jim.
Well, now that's a voice. Did you hear that? We'll just give my notes to him, and he can take it from here. That's a good radio voice. You did good.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, see, these kids are learning already. When I say something, you're not supposed to just nod your head and smile. It's radio. You're supposed to actually lean into the microphone and say something. So,
do you mean they can't see us?
No, they can't. This is not television. You haven't graduated yet. We're not dressed right for television anyway. So, Janice, we have just a minute here. Let's talk about the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy. Give us kind of the high-level introduction. What is it?
Well, it's at Merritt Island High School, and it was started by the district with the help of many advisors, such as Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, Harris, and the universities in our area. We have furnished the students with a program whereby after 4 years at high school, they're ready for an engineering program. They walk into college with some college classes through the Project Lead the Way curriculum, which is a program that is nationally known, and we're endorsed and certified for the state of Florida, representing them well. We have many teachers who go away during the summer to train to become the engineering teachers in this program, and we have students who go off to do internships and mentorships. It's wonderful.
That's great, and I've got a bunch of questions to ask you and all these kids here as we continue on. We're going to take our first break. Phone lines are open as always. Again, questions or comments to our students here today, anything having to do with our space program, give us a call, 321-768-1240, or email spacetalking@AOL.com. Stay tuned. I'm Jim Bank. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
And indeed, welcome back to Space Talk, everyone. Now at its new time slot, 3 p.m. every Sunday, right here on WMMB. Again, 321-768-1240, the number to call. spacetalking@AOL.com, the email address. And my thanks and a shout-out to my good friend from Lockheed Martin, former Atlas Launch Director and now head of everything having to do with Lockheed Martin on the Space Coast, Adrian Lafitte. Adrian's here in the studio, but not mic'd appropriately. We'll let him sit in the background.
How true.
And
how
just
true.
Wave every once in a while and try to cut me off if needed. So Janet Cheshire, Director of Da Vinci Aerospace Academy. We're joined here by three students, Alyssa Marcoux, 17, a junior, Alyssa Riccio, 16, a sophomore, and Tyler Johnson, the man, 17, a junior. We find out that he is not necessarily a Vikings fan, but we will still keep his microphone open. Janice Cheshire, we were talking about the Academy. One kind of big high-level question I have is to try to understand, is this an afternoon activity? Is this part of the curriculum during the day, a class they take? Is this a separate facility at Merritt Island? Kind of give us the picture of what
okay.
it is.
Great question, Jim. It is during the school day. So these students are taking, out of their seven classes, four in the Academy. So they take honors level English, honors level science, and engineering courses through, as I had mentioned, Project Lead the Way. And in this integrated curriculum, the students are taking a project through its different stages, through the different classes. So as teachers, we stay together, we know these students, and through the 4 years, they become a family. They work together to create projects and go on field trips, have guest speakers. It's really a great experience.
And this is something you have a full staff then for, a staff of teachers?
And... We do. And it's supported fully by the district. Thanks to Brevard Schools and our advisors, we're able to purchase things like flight simulators and wind tunnels, tons of computers with the latest technology, Inventor, which is what they work on for their creating their devices and such on the computer.
Well, and let's move down the line here. Alyssa M., we're talking about this. Now, tell me, just give me the big picture. Why are you involved in this? What's appealing to you? Where are you going to take all this?
I've always been really interested in computers and software mostly. I'm really interested in the software engineering. And so when I found out about this in middle school, hey, join this and you're going to have a high school experience that's completely devoted to computers and technology. So, okay.
And so computers sound neat because you wanted to go, you know, program games and be rich and do the next issue of Madden, or, you know, why space?
Well, I don't really know what computer industry. I mean, there's so many, and it's such a growing industry. I can do aerospace. I could do the gaming. It's really open. So with the aerospace, it's just made sense because of where we lived. We were so close to it all, and it just... It was here.
You know, I've had astronauts after astronaut tell me, you know, when we ask the question, what should you study, and what you know, and they all talk about working hard and staying in school and all that. But one of the things that was kind of, at least when I was in college, the theme that kept coming out was that if you could take an engineering job, you know, an engineering degree, and but also be able to program a computer. I had one astronaut once tell me electrical engineering and the ability to program in C++, and you could write your own ticket in this industry. Is that kind of what you're thinking, too, that you get this experience and you can really branch out to anywhere?
Yeah. I mean, looking at different colleges already, looking into it, everybody's saying, okay, software is the next big thing. Computers are growing. It's in every industry, like I was saying. And so with the knowing more about the computers, then all of a sudden you've got everything,
right,
and you're on top of the world because everything has to do with computers. So if you can build the computers and you can program them, then you know it all.
Oh, yeah, and you know, in the news recently was this mission called New Star launching on a Pegasus rocket, and they're delaying the flight, you know, a couple of months because they have to go work a software issue. You know, and how many times have we had issues in space with the International Space Station where the next new software was being developed and there was an issue there and something didn't work? So really, when you learn software, you got the big picture. So now take it back to the Academy. What are you doing hands-on that really gives you that kind of experience?
Well, currently in the aerospace engineering course that you take as a junior, we are building using VEX kits. These are smaller robotics. They've got pre-built gears and metal pieces and a microcontroller that uses different – there's several different programming languages. There's Easy C, Robot C, and it's basically a simplified C program.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building these robots within this class, and currently we're working on one to test airfoils.
Okay.
And so we're programming them within the class, we're building it, and having this hands-on experience right in the classroom.
So as a computer expert, your friends come up to you and say, how do I make this Microsoft Word thing from bold to italicized? Do you get all that too?
All the time.
All the time, I can imagine. Alyssa, hey, let's move down to you, young lady. Let's talk about, you know, what's your interest in all this? Where do you kind of come to all this and why you're doing it?
I'm actually more wanting to do civil engineering or building stuff. I'm
really?
Not really in the software and right. stuff like that. It kind of goes above my head. Trying to talk to Alyssa with all the software stuff, I mean, it just goes, woo.
Okay, I can see
so,
that.
Yeah.
So civil engineering meaning what? Give me some examples of the kind of things you'd be working on.
Like building bridges. And mm-hmm. I want to build something not just like your regular bridge, but something bigger and better and stuff like that. Or building the next big roller coaster or something,
okay.
you know, creative and having fun with my job every single day. So I'm not just sitting at a desk and being bored every single
okay,
day.
Okay, that's good stuff. So, you know, right away you think, okay, well, we're talking about the space program. You know, there's some space applications here. I mean, rather than just building the next big roller coaster with a space theme, you know, paint it, you know, black and blue and put stars on it or whatever. You know, can we talk about, you know, building bridges on Mars? Can we talk about building equipment?
Yeah, building colonies on the moon or something, you know, doing something like that or...
Yeah, and that's kind of – would that be interesting to you? Would you want to move and do that?
Yeah, of course it would be interesting.
So what are some of the things you've been working on at the academy then that relate to your area? You mentioned something about and I don't want to get off the track here, but you mentioned something about some field trips that you were taking, and then we were kidding about Legoland, you know, yeah, structural yeah. integrity or something like that. You know, we talk about some of those kind of things.
Well, when we went to Legoland, you got to see some of the, like, going in and learning how to, we got to see how they built, you know, some of the stuff and seeing how the idea for, like, an amusement park like that, how it actually goes together and, like, every single part in there, you have to think, an engineer had to think about it, an engineer put their hands on it,
uh-huh.
and an engineer built that park, so you have to think about it like that, too.
Well, what about the math and science? We always talk about, you know, STEM and math and science and all that. Does this come easy to you? Is this hard for you? I mean,
I've always had a love for math. I always like taking advanced math classes.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Is it just you're born with it, right?
Yeah, I guess you're just born with you're it. And I've always just loved taking my math classes, and I've always excelled in math. And that's been what I've always loved. So that's what generally made me think about engineering, because that's basically what the job is.
So I barely made it through, what, quantitative methods 1 at Embry-Riddle, and I took statistics 3 times before I passed it. I say proudly, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, but so didn't, you know, I get math, but I don't get it. What are some of the classes you guys are taking at your level now? Just gee whiz us with something here. Were you in differential yet? Do you know, I mean,
well, I
derivatives?
Just started taking BCC, and I took college algebra BCC, and that's the highest I've gone
wow,
so far.
Wow, wow. And all of you mentioned that you were dual enrolled in college. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it saves our parents a boatload of money.
Yes,
so.
It does, doesn't it? Okay. Well, before we get to our break, let's go to Tyler really quick. Tyler Johnson, 17, a junior at Merritt Island High. Tyler, what's your area of expertise? Where do you come into all this?
I've always been interested in aerospace and mechanical engineering, personally.
Okay, so what is mechanical engineering compared to electrical engineering, compared to civil engineering?
Well, electrical engineering is more working with how we're going to get commands to the different motors making it move. Mine's actually building the structure of the machine. Like the mechanical engineer builds the motor, the electrical engineer makes the accelerator give it gas.
Okay. So now, mechanical engineering... You know, again, taking back to the space program, one of the things that I got a big kick out of learning how to do all this stuff was, like, you know, you go into a clean room when the satellite's getting put together. And that, you know, you have to scrub down and be so totally clean. And when we would have these media opportunities, they tell all the female journalists, don't wear any makeup. Because there was always this concern that one little fleck, one little tiny spot of something would get into a gear somewhere and prevent an antenna from deploying. Now, that's pretty amazing, but that's the mechanical engineer's job, is to make those things move, to make those mechanical things happen. Is that right?
Yeah, then that covers it pretty well. also, I think a concern was electrical. In robotics, whenever we have to drill a hole in something on our robot, we have to cover everything electrical, because one fleck of aluminum in the wrong place gives mm-hmm. sends a electrical signal where we really don't want it.
Oh, okay. Sure, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, again, give us some examples of the kind of things you're working on at the Academy that gets into mechanical engineering.
Last year I took a class in digital electronics, which was I got to work with this. It was some mechanical stuff in there, but it was a lot of learning how circuit boards are made. So I got to see solder bridges be made, unfortunately. They had to put the connections so close together. My first year class, we worked with Autodesk Inventor a lot.
Okay.
And I found out I'm better than many college students at Inventor now.
Doesn't that feel good when you're smarter than the older guys, right?
It brings joy to my heart.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now. So, Janice, we just got a couple of seconds left here before we take this break. Tell me how many kids are involved in this program and what are the age ranges?
We have around 55 students. They range from freshmen to seniors. And we have built to the point where we have a full class of 25 incoming freshmen.
Well, that's outstanding. We're going to talk some more about that, everyone. We're going to stand by now as we pause for our usual 5-minute built-in hold at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break, let you get caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports. And then we'll be back to talk some more about space education with my guests from the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy at Merritt Island High School. Your call is always welcome, 321-768-1240. I'm Jim Bankey. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. Spectators already lined up outside the Supreme Court waiting to watch tomorrow's arguments over President Obama's health care reform law.
Emotions are running high, the political implications are large, and only the 9 justices who work inside this building will decide the fate of that law.
Fox's Steve Santani. Opponents take issue with the mandate to buy health insurance. The administration says the law is constitutional. Dick Cheney's in recovery after heart transplant surgery this weekend.
Back in July of 2010, Vice President Cheney had a left ventricular assist device installed to help pump blood through his body. And then about 2 years later, this past September, he said that he still hadn't decided if he wanted a heart transplant.
Fox's Peter Ducey. Cheney went on the waiting list soon after that. He's 71. Cheney and his family expressing gratitude for a life-saving gift. Fox News, we report, you decide.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Bankey.
And welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB. Our phone lines open for your contributions to the conversation we're having with Janet Cheshire from Merritt Island High School and students Alyssa Marcoux, Alyssa Riccio, and Tyler Johnson. Friends of Alyssa, Alyssa, and Tyler, they're just waiting for your phone calls to find out what the true secrets are that they're not divulging to us about their interest and what's going on here. And Janice, I just want to follow up one last quick question to you about the kids. You mentioned the size of the classes and whatnot. I was curious, do these kids volunteer for this? Are they handpicked? Do they have to pass a test?
Well, what's really cool is they pick themselves in terms of filling out the application and saying, am I ready for this? Because, of course, they do advanced level work. So they choose to write the application. We do not screen the applicants. Instead, we hold a lottery.
Oh, really?
We do.
And there's that many that are interested that you've got to turn them away, basically?
Absolutely. We have a waiting list.
And it's only kids at Merritt Island High School. Can kids from other schools join in?
Glad you asked, Jim. We are a choice academy, and so we have students who come from Rockledge, Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral, and, of course, Merritt Island.
Wow, that's neat. That's neat. And Marinon, so I wanted to get this question out of the way to all three of you kids. Now, look, you know, my three boys, God love them, they're grown and moving on, and not one of them wanted to go into the space program with their business. I got a music major. I got a computer science guy that has, you know, he may wind up at KSC, maybe not. But, you know, you're all interested in this. You all, did you all grow up here? I mean, just nod your heads. Did you grow up here? Yes, so you're all nodding your heads, yes. So, Alyssa M., talk about, what is this about the space program? Why are you interested in it? Growing up here where it's part of your kind of your culture, you know, why didn't you turn away from it and go do something else?
Well, I mean, yes, I've grown up with it. I've seen so many launches, but every single launch is different. You never see the same launch.
Uh-huh.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize. I mean, my favorite one is one night launch. I remember going out. It's the middle of the night, and the rocket's going up, and it's a large one. So all of a sudden, this sun is coming up from the sky in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and that excites you. That was fun. That's neat. That's just not another, you know, there goes another one.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean, especially through all of the programs that we're in, not just Da Vinci, but CubeSat and robotics, especially CubeSat. Recently, we've gone on several field trips into the Kennedy Space Center. Two spots that you would never see. And that's, again, something that a lot of people don't get to see. So they think they've seen it all, but there's a whole lot more out there.
Well, talk about the CubeSat and robotics. Now, you know, I was kind of thinking that was a part of what you get to do, but are those separate programs and you're kind of all in the same community?
They are separate programs. We encourage, I'm one of the student liaisons. Tyler and I are part of the advisory board, and so we've tried to get these groups and Da Vinci to work together because we're all interested in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely highly encouraged for the kids to be in multiple programs. So we've got at least three main ones. Robotics, the Team 801 Horsepower First Robotics Team, Merritt Island High School, and then we've got the CubeSat, where we're actually building and launching a satellite.
Okay, I want to get into that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, that one's cool. And we've got a flight club going on where we've got local pilots coming in and teaching some of the kids their ground school.
Oh, really?
During the after school, and because we've got these three simulators in one of our classrooms that we got donated to the school.
Oh, that's for the great. Advisory board. Motion simulators or desktop simulators? Do you know?
Well, they're desktop, but they're more advanced than your typical simulator.
It's more than just Microsoft Flight Simulator with a joystick. It's a little more involved than that.
Yeah. We have a grant situation going where it was a cost of $75,000, but it's worth a whole lot more. And it's through the builders that are working with Universal Studios at this time as well.
Okay.
So it's very advanced, and we're like a pilot program. And just
a pilot program to be a pilot.
Yeah,
see, isn't that funny? Isn't that how cool
that's
that works
funny.
Out?
Okay. Just a little information as far as how the two groups work together. Da Vinci is pretty much your program in the school day, and then the after-school programs are optional. So that's where we have that situation where some of the students are not able to be in the robotics or the CubeSat or the flight club, but we certainly encourage it.
Okay, kids, be standing by here because here comes your first question. We got a phone in call from Amber. Does anyone know an Amber? Scared to death right now at this point. Okay. Amber, welcome to Space Talk. Are you there with us?
Yes.
Hey, Amber. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Tell me, you're friends with one of these folks here, huh?
No, I'm the sister of Alyssa and Ricky.
All right. Good job. Well, Amber, give us a question. What's on your mind today, sweetheart?
Do you have to take a test to get into the Da Vinci program?
Okay. All right, Alyssa, answer away.
No, like Ms. Cheshire said, it's just an application, and you have to write an essay, and then you have to get teacher recommendations, and then you turn it in, and then it's a lottery for all the kids who
for a
meet
lottery.
The criteria.
So, yeah. Teacher recommendations from any teacher, science teacher, math teacher, someone you know really well, someone you know.
All the teachers?
All anyone?
Like math, science. You have to get like more than, it's like four recommendations that you have to get from the teachers.
Oh, really? So there's quite a bit of legwork to get in. I mean, you got to show an interest and really pursue it.
Do.
Oh, that's great. Amber, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Tyler Johnson, let's talk about the space program. You're growing up here. Why do you care about space? Why is it still fascinating to you when all this stuff is just sort of a part of your life?
Well, because space is just something that's constantly expanding as a program. We're not going to be done with space anytime soon, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, we're thinking about going to Mars. We're on a speck of the universe. This isn't going to end soon. That's something that interests me. I'm not going to see the end of the space program, but I want to be a part of it.
Well, and okay, so talk about this. So we're in this gap now. We're in this gap between the space shuttle and whatever's coming next, whether it's NASA flying someone or the commercial folks. I remember when we were in the gap back in 1975 after the Apollo-Soyuz mission flew, and I was in school, junior high and high school, and I would always wanted to be in the space program. But then when the gap happened, I kind of lost. I didn't really lose interest in space so much as it wasn't the focus anymore. I started getting heavy into the aviation. That's what led me to actually apply and attend at Embry-Riddle up in Daytona Beach. And so it wasn't until the shuttle started flying again 6 years later that suddenly the space bug got back into me. My concern with, you know, like you folks here at your age is that we're in this gap between the space shuttle and something else. We're not necessarily going back to the moon or Mars. We know we'll eventually get there, but that's not part of the big grand plan right now, at least as it's being articulated by our policymakers. What's out there in space, Tyler, that you care about, that inspires you, that you can see our nation heading in a direction that you want to dedicate, you know, your resources, your time, your talent, your schooling to be prepared to work in this industry?
Well, actually, at a robotics competition a couple of weeks ago, I was at a luncheon where I think it was a president of NASA gave a little speech about what the plans were for space, and he was just saying we're moving a little slower than we were with Apollo, but we have I think with Apollo we were using 4% of the national budget. Mm-hmm. Now NASA has maybe 0.5%.
Right.
They're trudging forward. They're using all the resources. Everything they're building can be reused for a different purpose.
That's right. So do you pay it? I was really surprised you could quote those numbers. Do you pay attention to that level of detail? Maybe not what each time there's a congressional hearing, but you know what's going on out there. You're staying on top of it.
Oh, whenever I get the chance.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, Alyssa M., let's go back to this idea of why the space program. If you had to explain to somebody in the elevator why you're doing what you're doing and why space is important to people, can you give us an answer? Do you know what the answer is?
It's cool.
There's
everything.
See, is there any better answer than that?
There's so many possibilities. Everything is out there, and there's nowhere to go but up.
And you can see the intensity in your spirit in saying that. You know, there's this pessimistic view, you know, that, well, it costs too much money. We can spend money better on Earth than doing other things. It's just a jobs welfare program for rich people. There's all these excuses why we can't go. And when you talk about the inspirational stuff, you know, in the real world, sometimes you get kind of put down by that. It's like, just being cool isn't enough. But yet, isn't it everything? I mean, that's why I was interested in space. Don't
Absolutely.
You think? That's it. Alyssa Arricchio, Alyssa A., talk to us just briefly real quick about some of these the CubeSat. Are you involved in that? Have you been doing that?
No, but I'm involved in the robotics.
In the robotics thing. That let's talk about robotics, because I've heard that there's these big competitions. I mean, you know, it's like when I'm waiting to see them show up on ESPN.
They definitely need to be.
You know,
I mean,
the
more people
huge
need
team
s-
things.
Need to see what this is, because it's kids doing so much work. And actually, we do demos all the time, and we actually do demos at the NASA's Lunar Robotics. And the college teams actually make these robots. And when they saw our robot, and we only have it's
6 weeks.
6 weeks to build it, their faces are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you only built that in 6 weeks. And comparing to the robots that they built,
yeah,
they're just...
So what's a robotic competition? I mean, who can get C-3PO to translate more languages, or R2-D2 to serve drinks on the barge ship? I mean...
No, each year we get a different task, and then we get the 6 weeks to build it.
What's an example of a task?
This year we're playing basketball.
Basketball.
But instead of just regular basketball, we have four hoops, uh-huh. And there's in the middle there's three balance board kind of things
okay.
that you have to get over to go get balls. So there's always that extra oomph of you trying to.
So you got to get a robot to go over an obstacle, to get a ball, to bring it back and shoot it into
yeah.
a basket and make 2 points or 3 points or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like two or three of these robots chasing each other at the
there's
same time?
There's three
or?
Robots on each alliance, and then it's the red and blue alliance going.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for some time, and these competitions are happening up here at KSC, I understand, right? Alyssa, you're nodding your head, Alyssa.
Well, we have one for years. The Florida regional, because there's regionals all over the country and actually even all over the world. But it was always held at UCF, the Orlando regional, and they're still being held there. We just had our UCF regional a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this next weekend coming up, we have one in South Florida, Boca Raton. It's a new regional, and we're really excited to go down there. But
oh, wow. That's so cool. We got to do more about robotics. I want to talk about CubeSat. I want to talk about some of the field trips you've been on and get some last thoughts about the space program. Everybody stand by now here as we take our final break of the day. We'll come back and wrap up our space education-related conversation. Plus, we'll look at the local launch forecast. I'm Jim Benke. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com.
welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk with a quick reminder that you can stay in touch with us throughout the week. If you're on Facebook, just search for Space Talk. If you're on Twitter, our hashtag is Space Talking. And for one-stop shopping, just visit WMMBAM.com, keywords Space Talk. Well, before we continue wrapping up our conversation with our friends at the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy at Merritt Island High School, we'll take a quick moment and take a look at our local launch forecast. The next launch from the Space Coast remains United Launch Alliance's Atlas V rocket, which is targeted to go on April 27th during a two-hour launch window that opens at 3:08 p.m. Eastern Daylight. The mission is to carry another military communications satellite into orbit, this one known as the Advanced Extremely High Frequency Satellite. And then just 3 days later, if all goes according to plan, SpaceX will launch their next Falcon 9 rocket from the Cape on a mission to send their Dragon spacecraft to rendezvous and potentially hook up with the International Space Station. Launch on April 30th is targeted for 12:22 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern Daylight Time. Should also note that down in South America this past Friday, Ariane Space launched an Ariane 5 rocket from the Guyana Space Center near the town of Kourou in French Guyana. The rocket was carrying Europe's version of a cargo transfer vehicle to the space station, which is scheduled to dock with the orbiting outpost on Wednesday. And finally, at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, I'd like to note that this Thursday, the United Launch Alliance team plans to send a Delta IV rocket into orbit on a classified mission for the National Reconnaissance Office. Liftoff is set for 3:30 p.m. local time in California, and we wish our friends and neighbors from ULA safe travels as they go to the West Coast to take care of that launch. For information about all the various launches scheduled around the world, jump on the web to WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, and look for the link to our launch forecast. We're going to wrap up our conversations with the folks from the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy at Merritt Island. We've been joined today by Janice Cheshire, the director, Alyssa Marcoux, Alyssa Riccio, and Tyler Johnson. We've got time for basically one more question for each of you. Alyssa M., you mentioned CubeSat. I understand that's a small little satellite that, what, is it shaped like a cube?
It is. 10 centimeter cubed all around. Small satellite. It's a college program.
Uh-huh.
But we are the second high school in the world and in America to be invited into this program, and the first to be partnered directly with NASA. Basically, NASA came to us and said, hey, do you want this opportunity to, as a high school group, build this satellite and actually launch it in space? And we said yes.
Yeah.
Just recently, Lockheed Martin has volunteered their services and helping to mentor us as well.
Okay.
And so they're coming from California and all over for during their launches, coming, listening to us, giving their advice. And basically, our mission is to measure the vibrations of inside the satellite, inside the Peapod, which is where you put the satellite.
Okay.
And measure the vibrations during launch, as well as testing whether RF signals really do interfere. Because basically right now they are over-testing all of these CubeSats to
right.
Because they don't know what the conditions are.
Sure.
So now we're trying to actually find out what they are.
And these readings that you take, this data, is it recorded and recovered later or beamed down telemetry?
They are being sent to our partner satellite, a 2U satellite being built by Cal Poly.
Oh, yeah?
And we're groundbreaking rules because we're...
You're not breaking rules. You're making groundbreaking rules.
Well, we are breaking rules. Uh-oh. Because...
you heard it here first, folks.
Well, because we have to be powered on during launch to be testing these vibrations, which is something no other CubeSat has ever been allowed to do.
Okay.
But it's necessary for a launch.
Rebellious youth in science.
Exactly. So, and then same with the RF signals. They never before were supposed to be allowed to send RF signals inside the... inside as it's launching.
Sure, sure.
But now they're telling us, oh yeah, you're supposed to test that.
Yeah, so you better figure out a way to do it. Yeah. CubeSat launching on what kind of a rocket?
Don't know specifically yet.
It's not a mission slated. You're kind of looking for a ride yet, do you think?
Yeah,
is that the story?
We had a couple planned out that we were looking at. I can't remember what they are now, but
I'm going to look over at Adrian. An Atlas rocket, so it's a secondary payload on an Atlas as you find the space available and weight available. Atlas V, obviously. Okay, okay. Adrian Lafitte in the background, Lockheed Martin giving good advice as always. Alyssa Riccio, we were talking about some of the other opportunities you guys have had and real neat space-related things. You guys mentioned radio contact with the International Space Station and astronauts on board in space. Talk about that.
Yes, we did get to talk to somebody who was on the International Space Station, and we all volunteered to ask questions. And it was really cool being able to hear back from them. And it was kind of weird because my question was something about risks. And But when he answered back at me, I remember he laughed and he said, no risks or no worries at all.
No
and,
worries at all.
It was the funny thing is that he kind of like chuckled as he said it. So.
that's great. How long ago did that take place?
It was on August 30th.
August 30th. So just this last year. So.
Yeah.
So that's great. Was it a ham radio setup, basically?
Yeah,
just kind of,
radio.
Yeah. So I had to work out those timings with the space station flying overhead
yes.
and all that. So it gets a little crazy. It wasn't in the middle of the night, was it?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. I've done a few of those myself. Tyler Johnson, we're going to wrap up with you, sir. Let's talk about you and your friends out there in Maryland High School. You know, you guys are all look like normal kids to me. I'm thinking Big Bang Theory and super nerds. You mentioned super nerds and all that. What do your friends think about all this? How are you perceived out there? Are you just the brainiac? Are you just a normal kid? Or what are you guys like?
Well, actually, a favorite game of mine is called Use Big Words Around My Friends and just watch their eyes glaze over.
Sounds like my youngest son. So you use the big words. Janice is just dying over here. So your friends think it's cool, think it's weird. They don't understand it.
Well. They don't think of me as a nerd, but they think I just know a lot that
Alyssa does.
Right
Alyssa
back,
Sam.
Right back at you, bud.
Yeah, okay. Would you recommend this to other kids?
Oh, I mean, definitely. It's a great experience. I mean, I'm going into college knowing stuff that the average freshman would never know.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, look, we've got about all the time we have. Janet Cheshire, Director of Da Vinci Aerospace Academy, thanks. Alyssa Marcoux, Alyssa Riccio, Tyler Johnson, good luck to all of you. You've been great. Can't wait to listen to this podcast again in the future. Thanks to Adrian Lafitte from Lockheed Martin for kicking me in the rear and getting this all set up. And apologize, it took a little bit longer than we had wanted to do it, but it's happened, and that's cool. And again, just best wishes to all of you as you finish out your high school and move on to college. Next week on Space Talk, we're going to be joined by representatives from a company called Flexure Engineering that is doing business here on the Space Coast and has an eye toward enabling the future exploration of the moon. In the meantime, don't forget our inbox at spacetalking@AOL.com is always open. And again, for one-stop shopping about everything having to do with this program, point your browser to WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, where you can find a podcast of today's program along with links to an archive of previous shows and an online version of today's orbital inclinations. That's all for now. Space Talk is a production of Mila Solutions and is brought to you thanks to the generous help of our supporting sponsors, Space Florida, Boeing, Abacus, SpaceX, and this week the group is joined by United Launch Alliance. My thanks to Sean Williams for manning the ops station for today's program. Please join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight for another live hour of Space Talk. Stay tuned now as WMMB presents a weekend edition of the Best of Bill Mick Live. I'm Jim Banky. We'll talk to you again real soon.